waiting for it to get soft. It just isn't going to happen. Wow. You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to Psalm 136. Psalm 136. And in our looking at thinking of Thanksgiving, etc. Now, I want you to think, if you would, in your imagination, that you were a pilgrim coming over the Mayflower and all of that, and then all the people thereafter them. And they're coming. Now they're coming. They've been struggling to get a hold of God's word in a European setting that was not conducive to do so. Psalm 136, think of all the messages, the sermons, and all of that in the country back then. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, and you keep reading. I'll read just a little more. Verse 60. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. Am I hitting this? No. Mercy endureth forever. Verse 17. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever. So God's mercy is always there. And note in verse 16 that God, the people of Israel, remember the huge 2.5 million of them, more or less, and all their animals and stock, livestock and everything. Here they all are. And in the process, they're in a land of death. They're like in a wilderness, desert. And they have to have food and water for all of that. It's hard to imagine that. Massive number of people and needs of animals. And to have food and water for them every day. That's an awesome thing. Now, but God took care of them. They were murmuring and mumbling, but God provided for them all of that 38, 40 years. Sliding down now to verse 25. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. So God, after the Genesis flood, think of Sunday school, after the Genesis flood, and God, you aren't going to flood the earth again, and you aren't going to curse the ground in the same way, not again. Now here we are, and everyone, all over the world is right now eating rice or something, somehow, in some fashion, based on the conditions and a whole lot of things that more or less is in our own hands. In other words, if we don't do the right thing in the field and harvest and all of that, then we tend to pay a price for that. Now, so everyone's getting, God, you're taking care of the whole works. And when you come over now to verse 26, you end the psalm. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. O God, the Lord, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. So we're going to look to God, and if you were reading the Bible, which they would have had, they would read all the time, all these wonderful psalms and everything. And they have they had a book of psalms that they sang. Wow. So they had all of these things. And thanksgiving is over and over repeated. Repeated over and over. Now, in the light of that, so when you came to this country, and they landed on the Mayflower, remember, and in the process, the first year, 100 and something landed on the on day one, and about 50 were left after the first year. So that's a big loss. Almost over half, good half, of the people aren't there anymore in 1 year. Now, so people are struggling, and you know that, and I've read it. I'm going to read this one, just this one though. The proclamation of Governor Bradford, because these are totally, unfortunately, unfamiliar to the average person, to say the least, in this country. So therefore, our founding fathers, which is relevant, inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squashes, and garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, inasmuch as he hath spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience, now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all the pilgrims with your wives and your little ones do gather at the meeting house on the hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the day time on Thursday, November 29th, in the year of our Lord 1623, and the third year since the pilgrims landed on Plymouth Rock, there to listen to the pastor and render thanksgiving to Almighty God for all his blessings. That's what they did, and they did that. And they did that. Remember now, when they came over, they weren't huntsmen and farmers. They were shopkeepers and tradesmen. So you aren't looking at a bunch of people that are ready to go in the wilderness. You're looking for a bunch of people that aren't equipped in their lifestyle to go into the wilderness and do everything. They were shopkeepers, etc. So now, having said that proclamation, now, so then we have that setting. You need the setting, and then we have our declaration. We have our declaration and constitution of these United States, which is based on what? On God and His Word. You can't read it without God and His Word. Now, so now, in 1789, the first year of his presidency, George Washington, he had a proclamation. Now I'm going to read it. A great, great proclamation. Better than what I'd say, anyway. But here's the proclamation. He's the first president. Declaration has been signed. It worked on the Constitution, I should say. And here are all these things. And here's the first thing the president does. The George Washington. He does this declaration. And I'll just read the first paragraph. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly implore His protection, aid, and favors. And then he goes on to say. Now, so that's George Washington. Now, having said that, George Washington, so here we're going to keep a little further. And then we go to Abraham Lincoln, 1863, and then he has a rather longer declaration, and he does that now. A Thanksgiving proclamation. Wow! So each one comes along. Now, so we go to our country and back, not way back then, but back far enough. And here is my last one I had from this state. This is the proclamation given for an October 29th, 1999, celebrating the 11th, the New Year, the Thanksgiving Day, the next month. And this is the proclamation in the state of Connecticut, sent to all us people, people in the state, that they're going to read it to all the people. Now, when was the last time you saw a proclamation from the state of Connecticut governor for Thanksgiving? Are you thinking? Don't think too hard. We used to do that, but it disappeared. They all disappeared. Wow. Now, in the light of that, keeping in mind that Thanksgiving was a key, so why is it so important, and why is it found to be so important in God's Word? Because God, remember, is the wonderful, wonderful Creator. He is the provider. And therefore, the creation, in particular humans, ought to have a healthy understanding and appreciation for being made on planet Earth, for being created. And for God created you, not because of, remember, sin we did on Sunday. And God created you for the wonderful privilege to know Him. So therefore, He allowed all of us to be born in sin and to be saved if we would believe, so that we would know Him. Now, God is the creator and the care, the provider of care, and He does what He does in a most wonderful way. And He does it according to His good pleasure. Psalm 150. Now, what do God's people know that thank God? God, You're the Creator, we're the created. And the attitude, and God provides for everybody. So everybody, anywhere, should be thankful. And believers, in particular, have the benefit of understanding this. So Psalm 115 and verse 1. Now unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory. Why? For Thy mercy. Remember, you read it over and over again, Psalm 136. And for Thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, Where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens, and He hath done whatsoever He pleased. So God hears the believing heart, looking. Now here's all the world, they get tied up in idols, if you kept reading. They get tied up in idolatry. But God, when we come to know You as our Savior, we understand then all the things You've been doing to keep us alive on planet Earth that we didn't even realize. We did everything, coming and going, with totally ignoring You. But You actually were caring and keeping us so that we lived another day on planet Earth, another opportunity to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to be saved. Now, so therefore, God, we're going to count our blessings as we go, and we're looking to God to do that. Now, so God, so we need to understand that, and God, You're merciful. So we aren't going to sit there and say, well, how many other people are saying thankful? How many people in the restaurant are going to bow their head in this particular area, anyway, and be thankful? How many people are going to do that? How many people are thanking God, really, really from the heart? Well, there's not too many. So therefore, why should I do that? They don't care. And whatever it is going to be given to us, regardless whether we're thankful or not. So, who cares? God, You got to help us some more. Over to Luke chapter 6. Luke and chapter 6. And if I may, chapter 6, in verse 31, we'll pick up the flavor of it. 6 and 31. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. Mm-hmm. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do that even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners and to receive as much again. But love your enemies, love ye your enemies and do good, verse 35, and lend hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. So God, why do you do it? A, you're the Creator. B, you're merciful. C, you want them saved. And unless you're merciful to us, anyone, anywhere, how's the day going to be? With all of everything going on inside of our heart, body and outside. Now, so how's that going to work out? Well, God, you're going to be merciful, and we're understanding to be merciful. We need to be merciful, and we need to be appreciative. So when it comes to Thanksgiving, God, we ought to honor you. That's what you expect out of us. Think of Romans 1 and 20 and 21 and that. They were unthankful in their heart. They wouldn't thank God. They should have thanked God. Doesn't mean they get saved, but they should have thanked God. But they didn't. They should have, but they didn't. They didn't want to understand. They didn't want to understand about God. So now, having said that little bit and thinking of that, if you would, in the light of all the things in life, and God's being merciful, and remember now when you think of mercy, you want to think of 2 Corinthians 1:3, and God is going to comfort us, encourage us, stimulate us, because he's the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. So God, you're the Father. You're the one to make it all happen. And we, if anyone ought to be appreciative, we ought to be appreciative of you for all that you're doing that we don't know that you're doing. And if you weren't doing it, we wouldn't be where we are. So we haven't talked about any benefits at all. We're just saying what ought to be if you just put a big thing here and blocked everything, and you're down beneath like we are, then you ought to be thankful. But hold it, you ought to be thankful. God expects that. Nothing wrong with that. Now, having said that little bit, in the light of that, over if you would please. Remember now, we're looking at Thanksgiving does wonderful things for us. Because when you say Thanksgiving, and truly from your heart, when you do that, can you still be unhappy? Can you still be discouraged? If you really say thankful, it stops it instantly, doesn't it? If you do it from your heart, not just say it, if you say thankful from your heart to God, at that moment, everything changes for you. What a simple magic word that is. That's what that does. Wow. Why don't people use it? They don't want to have to think about God. They want to try to get God out of the picture for all in all practical things. So now, God, why do we want? Because in the light of our yesterdays, God, here we are, and God, and looking, and we want to go as believers now, as believers, we have the benefit, and we're going to go and look to you, God, and we're going to understand that we're going to have to leave all the yesterdays behind us. That's what we're going to do, and all kinds of ways to say it. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23:6. Follow me. Follow me. So God, what do we have to do? Thankful for everything that's behind us. For the last recent five minutes is behind us. Wow. And God, in your wonderful grace, you cover and cleanse where would we be? In the light of our sin, in the light of our old nature, God nowhere. And God, in the light of that, we consider tomorrow, the day after today. And we look to that. And God, you died on the cross back here to make all of this possible. And so as we go forward, we're coming forward to a wonderful future. So God, we're going somewhere. Wherever we are, now, this isn't it. This isn't it. It's ahead of you. So you hang on to the present, but you can't have the present. You're headed to the future. So God, we look to you with thanksgiving for the future. In the light of your crown, in the light of your being seated at the right hand, in the light of your soon coming. And so God, we're going to be comforted that you're going to be the God of all comfort. You're going to be merciful. And we're going to go with confidence as we go forward, looking to you to meet all the needs of our heart. So now, back over again, a quick illustration, over to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Reminding us. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, you remember, David is bringing the ark into his tent. That's a big step from where it was, moved it over to his tent, and there was great celebration. The ark was going to be among them at this point in David's tent. And here's the ark. Now, in the light of that, in the light of the ark there, verse 3, and he dealt to every one of Israel, both, this, they're going to have a big feast, a Thanksgiving, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread, a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. That's what they're going to do. Verse 7. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing praise, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. And you're going to read this wonderful, wonderful message, his proclamation, if you would, to them, to the people. The ark is there. Wow, that's a huge, wonderful thing. Now, so in the light of that, in the light of that, David is going to go and encourage all the people. It's a wonderful, God's there. God's there. And it was a wonderful occasion. If God's there, wow, that's a very personal, wonderful thing to be in the presence of God. And so they're very thankful, no question. They have the gratitude that is owed to God for his wonderful investment in creating you in the first place. You owe God for bothering to create you and give you planet Earth. It's a interest due. It's due him, see? Wow. So now, so, in the light of all of this, over, if you would, please, to Ezra. And go a little more farther into coming in our direction, if you would, Ezra chapter 3. Now remember, they are going to go and put the foundation, they come back to Jerusalem, and Zerubbabel, they're going to go and put the foundation down. Down to for the temple. Now it isn't Solomon's temple. Just this is a rebuilding a temple, the remnant coming back to Jerusalem. Therefore, chapter 3 and in verse 10, And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord after the ordinances of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord. Why? Because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever to an Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and the chief of the fathers, who were ancient men, older, they had seen the first house, they knew what Solomon's house was, and when the foundation of the house was laid before their eyes, they wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy. So here they are, looking and comparing the foundation, nothing on it yet, comparing and looking at Solomon's temple, and it was nothing like it was. Well, George Washington, when he did his proclamation, do you know the character and mood of these United States was quite different. When Lincoln did it, it was different. When our governor did it in 1999, it had changed, was changing. And here we are. And we look back, if we remember, if we are old enough, we look back and say, well, boy, it isn't like it was. No, it isn't, but we got a shot with all kinds of opposition everywhere to keep it from ever happening. And the problem is the Constitution, Declaration, underneath it is God and his word holding it. So if we can move the Constitution out of the picture and the Declaration out of the picture, we move God out of the picture. That's what we're trying to do. So don't get hung up on that. It's pretty obvious in what's happening. Wow. And when they go to school, colleges, and need bubblegum and crayons and everything to keep them happy, I have to tell you, I wouldn't pay more than 2 cents for that class. And you could graduate for 10 cents, you see, if you knew how to use all the different colors. I mean, after all. So now, here's Ezra, and they're all excited and happy because they, some God, you're there. And God's in the heaven doing whatever he wishes. Uh-huh. And here's David, and God's doing, and then David's had a big thanksgiving to thank God. And here's Ezra, they're there, and God allowed him to put the temple, a foundation for the temple down, and the people were all were going to have a big, exciting time of thanksgiving. Wow. So now, in the light of that, if you would, over in your Bible, if you would, oh, to Psalm 118. Now, God makes his investment in your life with all of the privileges you could have that he has in mind for you. And all you have to do is stay with him so that all that investment, all that is, all those good things can happen. So now, Psalm 118. And you will note, please, in Psalm 118, picking up, if I can, in verse 1. Psalm 118 and in verse 1. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. Now that's us. That's where we fit in. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. And God, so David, you're looking, I am, and God is merciful to us, and you're going to keep going. Verse 18, 25. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord, in the light of Psalm 18 and David's other psalms. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now thy prosperity, now prosperity, because, blessed be he, that cometh in the name of the Lord, we have blessed you out of the house, we have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath showed us right light, and bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. God, we're committed. Verse 28, thou art my God, I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. And now how are we going to always conclude? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. So God, we're looking to you as you keep out working each thing in your own way, in your own time, for your own reasons. And God, that's a marvelous thing that you do. So God, here we are looking, and you do all of these things, and we to thank is to say something, to admit, to express, to admit, to say something aloud in the direction of God now. So having said all that and keeping that in mind, if you would go over to Psalm 50, and in Psalm 50, picking up again, so here we are looking, God, we ought to be thankful and looking to you in the light of yesterday, no matter what it was, no matter how you cut the cookie, no matter how you do it, our God, if we stand back, God, thank you that we're still here to even get involved. Wow. Psalm 50, if I may, verse 14. Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Slide your eye over to verse 23. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright, goes along with what I want, will I show the salvation of God. So God, you're going to go in your grace and do all of these wonderful things for people. As we keep turning page after page of your word, you are very, very good at what you do, and you don't disappoint anybody. And God, you're going to do it all over, if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians in chapter 9, as you know. Keeping in mind now, remember now, you're seeking to what? I want to understand the necessity and the huge benefit of when I say thank you to God. Now, I can say thank you to a lot of things. That's all right. But I need to direct it to God as a human being. I'm out here in the middle of nowhere. I'm out with a million people out here. And a million of us need to say thank you to God. We don't know him, but we do need to honor him. And when we honor him with thanksgiving, God, you're going to be gracious. I am. Just like with Nineveh, etc., you're gracious and gracious and gracious. And now, God, and you're going to go and do that. So now, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and in verse 14. Now, remember grace now, for by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, the grace of God in you, and now, and where's that grace of God found? In the person of Jesus Christ. Thanks, remember, thanks is the same word as grace. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. God, you're doing all of that because of your son. I am. I am doing all of that because of my son. So, God, you're going to keep doing it. If we'd look to you, we're going to keep benefiting. Because I'm doing it. Not because we're good guys or bad guys, but because of your son. So why can I count on that? Because of your son. I'm not counting on it. Well, I did it bad. I'm doing good or bad. No. No, we're counting on it because of your son. Now, over, if you would, tying it together, over to Job, I think. Over to the book of Job. And in chapter 1. Job chapter 1. And you will note, please, Job has gotten clipped as no one has gotten clipped. And he's a good guy. He's a good guy. Now, I want to learn from that in the light of Thanksgiving. Now, Job, everything's going wonderful for you. Wonderful. And all of a sudden, in 24 hours, all gone. Now, Job, I want to learn. You're looking to God, who's in heavens, does whatever he desires. God, you take care of things in the right place in the right time. Uh-huh. So, Job, I want to listen, learn from you. Chapter 1, verse 21. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Now, what did he do? He looked to God and said, whatever you do, the Most High God, whether it's easy or terribly hard, you're right. Our God in the heavens does what is right, and his mercy is what? Enduring forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, repeatedly. So God, are we going to catch on? And Job, you did. Uh-huh. If anyone should have complained, you should have, but he didn't. No, chapter 2 and in verse 10. His wife, remember, said, curse God and die, verse 9. Chapter 2, verse 10. In answer to his wife, he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did Job sin with his lips. He didn't do it. He just didn't do it. Why not grumble? Why not gripe? Why not? He didn't do it. And when you come to the end of Job 42, then Job says, I humbly pour myself in dust and ashes. I had no idea, God, how wonderful you are in letting all of that happen. What do you think? Do you know David? Thank God in the wilderness. Job thanked God for when he had everything, God took it. Our Lord thanked God in the garden, on his way to the garden of the cross, took bread and broke it and gave thanks for what was going to happen. And here people are grumbling and griping because they aren't understanding what's happening right now. In your body, God's caring, isn't he? 1 minute, you'd be dead from now. Only take a minute. And all the germs and all the bugs and all everything else, everywhere, all the plans and stuff, evil going on. Wow. We say, we don't see that. No, that's the trouble. We don't see it. God does. God sees it. And God knows it. And God said, be thankful. Now, you remember the legend it is. A man went and looked in the barn. It was Satan's barn. And Satan kept all his seeds there. And all his seeds were there for the human heart. And he found seeds. And the seeds that were the most numerous seeds there were the seeds of discouragement. And they grow the easiest, almost anywhere, to anybody. you can find discouragement. Uh-huh. So Satan was questioned. Questioned why he did that. Why he did that. Satan, he admitted that this was his plan. And he deceives discouragement. That's the one thing that had the easiest thing to do to people is discourage them and to keep them so that they never thrive. They never grow. They're discouraged all the time, always discouraged. And then the man asked, and asked why, what is the one thing that you can't overcome? What is the one thing you can't make a person discourage? How do you not make a person... I'm not the one that did this, you know. I'm just giving an illustration. How do you make a person not get... What can you do? What is it you do to make the people discouraged? Anything. What can't you do when people... You can't discourage. The seeds of discouragement are no good. They're no good. To whom? His answer, where there is a thankful, grateful heart, I can never add discouragement. And that's what we said in the beginning. Where there's a grateful heart, you can never be discouraged. Now, I know you'll never get discouraged. Wow. So, I hope that helps a little bit. Helps you to just understand the one thing. In the meeting I had to go the other night, and I wish I'd said something else, but I didn't. And so when I ended my little thing, prayer or whatever, And I meant to say some things that would help the men, and I didn't. But, you know, when I just ended, I said, thank you, God. Thank you. That's how I ended. Thank you. And they got problems. They need to get to God and thank God. We're just people out here, and all of the people that they have no attachments. Wow. So we gotta sing. You gotta sing. We don't have to sing, but we will sing. 217, I think. Isn't it?